Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Time for our Monday morning house call with Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. Good morning, Doc. Over the weekend, we heard a lot about how fewer people in the United States are being admitted to hospitals with the coronavirus than a week ago at Northwestern. And I know you're in contact with your colleagues at other hospitals. What's the situation around here?
Yeah, Bob, we are fortunate. We have seen a decrease in the hospitalizations. We're here at CDH, we're down below 100 for the first time in many, many weeks. So very kind of promising, and hopefully we know we've hit the peak of Omicron, but usually the hospitalizations impact will lag a week or two. So kind of encouraging that we are seeing a decrease right now.
Really interesting reading about the Northwestern Medicine study regarding long COVID-19 symptoms. What's the big takeaway from this?
Yeah, you know, Northwestern has a clinic downtown in Streeterville for long COVID, and they look at all of these. It's run by Dr. Charlie Davidson, probably one of the foremost cardiologists in the country, but he has kind of built this clinic so that we're looking at pulmonary issues, you know, people who have long COVID with their lungs, neurology issues, you know, the brain fog, as well as cardiology issues. So two things that they're looking at there. One is what do we see about these people that is common? Is there a commonality that makes people have long COVID? And then also now we're starting clinical trials on, is there medications or are there therapies that can help to slow down this or to minimize it or to turn it around, the long COVID? So if you think about it, going to your doctor's office, he may have 1, 2, 3 patients with long COVID, but if we get all the patients in the right place and seen by the experts, we're going to have a lot better idea going to future as far as the impact of other viruses, as well as now we have a better opportunity to try different treatment modalities and have a good outcome or a good data set to see which works the best.
We hear that most fully recover and the symptoms go away within about 4 to 6 weeks, but sometimes those symptoms can last much longer, can't they?
Oh, 100%. I mean, I have a good friend who's a physician who has had no taste or smell for over going on 2 years now. So certainly some of the long COVID symptoms can continue. The brain fog ones, those are the ones that you hope that go away. Some of the shortness of breath, it's because the damage that the Delta variant or the original COVID variant did to the lungs, and those are going to be more that they're going to have to work with. And then the cardiovascular ones, obviously a lot of the myositis and pericarditis goes away at a very short period of time, but sometimes people still live with the repercussions of some heart failure issues.
Tribune reporting this morning on a new smart sensor that measures face mask fit, and this is called FaceBit. It also measures heart rate and respiration, similar to the fitness wearable Fitbit, and this is also a product of Northwestern, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. You know, it's not like we're doing an ad for Northwestern today, but you know.
Well, listen, if the University of Chicago or Rush wants to come up with some stuff like this, we're happy to announce it.
Yeah, no, we're very fortunate to have some great researchers downtown. So, yeah, this is called FaceBit, and essentially what it does, and it's kind of important if you think about what's going on, especially this week. You know, this week we know that N95 masks are going to be distributed at CVS, Walgreens, and Walmart. And that's a mask that normally needs to fit very tight to your face in order for it to work. So many people who are wearing N95s, it's very loose and it's really not doing what it's built to do. But the FaceBit will actually tell you how much exposure you've had. And really, is the mask you're wearing appropriate for your face? And is it tight enough? And is it doing the job it's supposed to do? So certainly something that we'll use in the healthcare field, and people should be using, you know, in nursing homes and some of these facilities where we still need to make sure that we are protecting that vulnerable population that we care for.
Might this come to market within the next year?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, I think it will. I think one thing about the good thing about the Northwestern group here is when they get something and they find out that it's working and they got it right, you know, they're going to get it into the hands of those individuals that can use it and so that it can make an impact. It's one thing to come up with it and say, "Ha, we're great, we did it." It's more important though for us to make sure that if we find something that can work like this, to get it into the hands of the public and to get it into the hands of those who need it.
For sure.
Continuing with Northwestern's Dr. Kevin Most, and we heard Dr. Fauci over the weekend say that he is as confident as you can be about the prospect of most states reaching a peak of Omicron cases by mid-February. Do you think that will be true for us here in Illinois and around the Midwest, Doc?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, you're seeing it already here in Illinois, where other parts of the country is still spreading. So I think that he's probably spot on, that we saw how fast this went through the entire country. Just think about what happened here in Chicago and how quickly it went up and now how quickly it's coming down. So as it spreads through the entire country, I think he's probably right, because he bought himself, you know, another 6 weeks. And then when you look at how fast it has gone through each of the sections of the country, it could be very promising.
I don't know about you, but I saw a lot of information, I think most of it misinformation on social media, about new variants. As far as we know, we're not dealing with those just yet here, are we?
No, not really. You know, there was a new variant that was identified in France about 3 weeks ago that just kind of fizzled out. Probably the biggest thing that they're looking at right now is what they're calling a subvariant of Omicron, which many people are saying it deserved its own name. It seems to be a little bit more infectious, but they really haven't identified it to call it its own. But it certainly looks like it's as bad as Omicron and just spreads about as a little bit quicker. But fortunately, you know, it's a subvariant, so it's already found in the population where Omicron has already been rising and peaking and now hopefully decreasing.
Let's go through some of these listener questions. If there is a breakthrough case on someone who is boosted, is the likelihood of long-term COVID less than if they were not vaccinated?
Yes, absolutely. You know, the interesting thing about long COVID is individuals who have it for a mild to moderate symptoms, but for a longer period of time, are the ones that are getting long COVID. Individuals who've been vaccinated and boosted, we know that the incidence of the disease is shorter, so they have a shorter duration of disease, and the viral load is really diminished almost immediately by at least the antibodies that you have. So the chance of long COVID certainly is way down for individuals who've been fully vaccinated and boosted.
Here's a good one for you. I know you're not a veterinarian, but listen to this. My dog slept with my son the other night, and my son woke up with symptoms. Can my dog spread it to the rest of us?
Yeah,
can animals get it?
Yeah, this is really getting interesting. We've had outbreaks in zoos. We just had an outbreak in a group of lions in South Africa. So certainly it does look like that has made that jump. And that's the biggest concern, right, is when viruses jump from animals to people or peoples to animal, you know, their immune systems are different, and that's probably one of the big concerns. So certainly it does appear that some animals can get Omicron, but I would say, you know, have your child checked. The chance that he got it from somebody at school is much higher than he got it from Fido.
All right, back to humans here. My two adult children were just about to get boosted when they presumably came down with Omicron. They tested positive. One had the J&J, the other had two Pfizer vaccines all last spring. How long should they wait after the recent bout with Omicron to get their boosters?
Well, the beauty is they have some, you know, natural immunity now with Omicron, and they got the vaccine. So we're telling people, and we were telling them often, hey, wait 30, 60, 90 days, and mainly because the vaccine was in such, you know, high demand. Right now, we know that the antibodies start to wane even after natural immunity. So I would tell them anywhere between 30 and 60 days. They have great immunity right now, but between 30 and 60 days, especially the one who got the J&J, to make sure that they're boosted with either the Pfizer or Moderna.
We're still getting a lot of questions about masks. Please ask Dr. Most if the K94 is as good as the K95 mask.
So the numbers on the mask mean how much you are protected. So like the N95 mask, if worn appropriately, will protect you from 95% of the very small micron spaced or sized viruses. Mm-hmm. So certainly the numbers are going to tell you how much the protection is. So the difference between 94 and 95 is very slim. That being said, the KNs are more used for industrial manner than the medical side. The masks that you're going to be able to get now at Walgreens, Walmart, and CVS are going to be the N95s. but they're going to be in multiple sizes. So please make sure you get one that fits you appropriately so that you're making sure that you get the full value of the mask.
And with those masks we're going to be getting free, should we wash them? Should we not wear them more than a few days in a row? What do you suggest?
No, you know, N95s, some of them are, and it looks like they're using 3M, you know, are fairly well made. So you can certainly, if it's not soiled or damaged, you can continue to wear that mask for easily a week, because everyone's going, well, 3 days, whippy, you know, I'm going to wear it on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I'm going to be out. And no, in fact, really, if you take good care of it, wear it when you need to wear it. You know, you're not healthcare providers, most of you. You're not going to be wearing it, you know, 8 hours, 10 hours a day while, you know, at the house. So wear it appropriately, and you can really, you could probably get, I would say probably at least 5-6 days out of each mask. But if it's soiled or if it's damaged, then obviously switch back to a new one.
As always, thanks to Dr. Kevin Most for our Monday morning house call. And he is the chief medical officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. And just to confirm, Doc, brain fog, not only a symptom of COVID, but also a symptom of doing morning radio, correct?
Yes, it is. And with the exception of Dave Ennett, he seems to have, you know, had his COVID and has not ended up with brain fog, which is great.
Not anything unusual, I guess.
That's right. It's normal. Right.
Yeah, his head is clearer even after that than mine is on any healthy day. Have a good one. Thanks, guys.
Take care.